From Wise Mentoring is the Wise Guys podcast, a show about accounting and bookkeeping practice owners and the many stories, lessons, and tips from their experience of transitioning from a time-poor practice to a business that runs without them. I hope you enjoy and subscribe.
You said to create a process of add-on services opportunities at the end of job three. Recommendations, what can the team see the client needing? Want fries with that? Yeah, that's kind of probably the opposite of ad hoc, which is kind of upselling, which brings me, you know, quite nicely as a segue to our second question that we want to look at today. And that is, this one was directed to me. I'd love to hear, you know, Christy's thoughts, Thomas's thoughts, share my experience at Causeway & Associates on how we ensure clients are educated on all of our services that we offer. And, you know, they're provided with opportunities to gauge us on their services. I think that's kind of what you're getting at there, Clayton. This is a different kind of problem. It's the opposite to the ad hoc. We might have a client who comes up to us and says, I'm really not happy with my bookkeeper. Can you recommend a good bookkeeper to me? And that happened 2 months ago. And we said, well, we do bookkeeping. And they just had no idea. And that's more common than you'd believe. I'd love to hear, Thomas or Christy, have you had that issue in your firm? Have you got any wisdom to share on that? Or I'm putting you on the spot a bit.
Yeah, look, definitely it does happen. So just for those of you who haven't met me before, I own a bookkeeping business, so we don't do tax work at this stage. But it definitely does happen. You know, the great thing of being in your client's books on a regular basis is, though, you can see the growth of their business as they have changes, and you can decide if you should be offering an additional service to them as well to support them. You know, a lot of businesses, when they've got the right team, will go through some expansion and growth, or they might have staffing changes. You know, I have a firm that we're working with that is going through a lot of change and they need more support to begin with. So we've offered that straight away and been proactive. So it's just having a look. I think it's a really great opportunity, Clayton, to assess as you're doing the work on a regular basis, what could you add? What value could you add, and being proactive?
In the spirit of systematizing it, Chris, that's the golden ideal, where the client manager is just so keyed into the client and their needs that they are on it. And obviously we strive for that, it's their job. But in the spirit of systematizing it as well, there's a couple of things that you can do to kind of try to make sure stuff doesn't slip through the cracks, or to make sure you're really monetizing it. One of them is to send out a newsletter. We think about marketing in terms of external clients, and even today's topic of production, proposal, and discovery in terms of new clients. But as Thomas said before, there's so much gold in our own firms that we haven't mined yet, and it's the lowest kind of hanging fruit. It doesn't cost us anything extra to get them. They're already paid clients, so it's likely they'll happily do, you know, take on more of our services as long as they're happy with us. Yeah, I think marketing to existing clients is something we don't think of. And so, yeah, there are several ways of doing it. We're trialing out in Causeway & Associates having like a monthly newsletter that's spruiking one of the services, you know, to our client base that they might not be aware of that we offer. And if you don't want to get too spammy about it, but I was talking about this with Ed the other day, and he said, other firms are talking to your clients. I mean, bookkeeping, Christie's, you've got a huge advantage in bookkeeping, but we might only talk to some of our clients, even our bigger ones, a couple of times a year. And Ed said other firms, including possibly his, he's got so many on his mailing list, are talking to our clients. And so he said, you don't want to be spammy, but a monthly check-in email letting them know about, you know, changes to tax law, for instance, there's a lot of those happening in Australia at the moment, or services that you offer, even if they don't currently need bookkeeping, they might be starting an SME in the new year. You know, even if they don't have a trust or a super fund yet, they might be earning more money. They might be thinking about doing that. And so marketing is a long runway. You're not just marketing to clients who need your services now. You're marketing to clients who you hope will grow into needing more of your services. And the first person they think of isn't your opponent, it's you. And there's less spammy ways of doing it than sending out newsletters to emails. One that Brenton's discussed with the Wise team, which is a really neat idea, is, I can't remember what the tool is, someone else might be able to remember, but there's a tool, that a software company that puts stuff in the banner of your emails. Is that right? And you can change, someone in the marketing team might be able to help me out here, and you can change what's in there whenever you want.
I think it's called Black Pearl.
Black Pearl, is it? That's one example. Yeah, so every time your client sends, you know, your staff send out an email to the client, if you really want to be spruiking the bookkeeping, you can put that in the banner of the email. So it's just trying to get in front of the clients as easily as you can, you know, any of those new services that you offer or existing services they might not know you offer. And then the sales part is when the client manager comes in and they'll say, hey, Christy, or hey, you know, Tim, or whoever it is, I saw that you guys do bookkeeping now. That's great, you know, and it makes it easier. Then the client manager, all they have to do is just say, yep. And they go straight into this phase of, you know, discovery, proposal, production. So in the spirit of systematizing as much as possible, we'd encourage you to look at ways of talking to all your clients and letting them know that you do off those things.
I'll add something that we've been doing as well. So actually, credit to Eng here. We created what we call a client master checklist in Carbon. So it's essentially the monetization sheet, but we treat it as going through each of these services to actually find out, does a client have a super fund? Do we do the bookkeeping for the client? Do they have trust? Do they have other family members? Do they have things outstanding on their ATO? Do they have BASs outstanding? So we created like a Carbon job template that we just want questions answered for in each one. As people are going through the work of these clients, say their tax returns or financial accounts for the year, we encourage the team that is working on that client to also be completing that checklist too. All right. So it's almost like an additional work almost, all right, together with actually trying to finish the work at hand.
Yeah.
And what we encourage the team to do is to complete that and come up with recommendations that the client manager can take into the client approval meeting. Okay. So, you know, we already have a chance to bring the client into a meeting to discuss and have them sign off on something. It'd be really great also to bring just a couple additional agenda items that we've just taken the effort to go in and find out about. So it could be like some entity that we've totally forgotten about, but it's got like 10 years outstanding. They might not trade with it, but, you know, still charge a $50 nil return of attending them is something. An exercise like this, it brings the whole team involved because it's very easy to do a monetization sheet. It's easy to have a giant Excel sheet, but then we never really act on it. If we bring the team in on it and it becomes an activity where the team is treating it like a project to try find some gems inside this client group and then raise it to the client manager, that's a really nice habit and process to build, you know, as an ongoing thing.
You're not already doing a client Net Promoter Score survey. I'd encourage you to do that. Again, we look at doing that for referrals, but if you think about the logic, if they give you a 9 or a 10, they're more likely to accept more services from you. If they give you a 4 or a 5, the last thing they're going to want is more services from you. And so if you're thinking, one way of doing it systematically is what Thomas said, to look at just every client. We recommend doing it at the start of the financial year, whenever that is in your geographic location. In addition to scheduling the current work that we're doing for the client, we actually try to do it at the same time to get it over and done with one big bulk for the year. And then really the low-hanging fruit of that, because you'll probably find almost every client will have some kind of service that you're not actually offering that you could give for them. It can be overwhelming. Like Thomas said, you either do it when you do the work, or you look at the low-hanging fruit being the 9 and 10. If you are doing the Net Promoter Scores, just go for the 9s and 10s to start with. And you'll find it's much easier to sell. This is really good if you have an assistant client manager who's trainee. It's much easier for them to sell to a very, very happy legacy client, probably in some cases, than a brand new one. Christy, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, look, I think too, on the lower scores from clients, they potentially also need more service, but they certainly need a senior approach. But perhaps the reason they're feeling dissatisfied is they want more from you because they need more help. So it's not a definite no, or, you know, gosh, we've just got to love on them to get them up in score. Have a look at it from a sales point of view of what do they need.
That's really good.
Thanks for tuning in. If you liked this episode, please remember to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. For more practical, wise tips on how to build a business that runs without you, head over to wisementoring.com/podcast. to download a free copy of the Accountant's 20-Hour Workweek Playbook. We've included a link in the show notes below. See you on the next episode.